Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is miserable outside. It is miserable all around. If you are a Knicks fan, no, this isn't the end of the world. This isn't the worst thing to happen to the franchise. This isn't the knockout blow for an amazing season so far. But boy, did that suck last night. There's no other way to put it. It was actually worse statistically as far as a blown loss went than the two games that they came back in Boston. That's how unlikely and crazy this was. Neesmith going off and hitting those six threes in the fourth quarter. Sloppy turnovers, the Halliburton bounce, the Reggie Miller choke sign. I mean, the overtime being what it was. I mean, I still this morning as I'm sitting here cannot believe how that thing fell apart, how quickly it did, and that the Knicks are actually down in this series. Now, I still have faith in them. I really do watching the majority of that game. I feel like I'm a Celtics fan watching them play the Knicks, actually. I know we're the better team. I know the Knicks are the better team, but last night was alarming. It was crazy, and I just hope it's part of the championship video or the Eastern Conference Finals video saying that was the worst point of the season, and then they took off from here. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I mean, I'm like you. I'm disappointed for sure in the way that the regular time ended, the fourth quarter ended. It was just an absolute disaster, and it really did bring me back to the 90s, I'm telling you. And I was telling you yesterday, man, I told you this ain't going to be easy. And then I was thinking as they're up, I think it was 12, and I'm saying to myself, maybe G's right. Maybe they're going to be able to, you know, win this one going away and everything's going to be good. And then as I was thinking that to myself, all of a sudden, the ugliness happened and the turnovers, and it was a very entertaining game. And when you really think about it from just sitting back and watching a game, it's everything everybody said about the Pacers, that it was going to be frenetic. And could the Knicks match their pace? Could the Knicks keep up with them? They're going to throw nine guys at you. And, you know, damn well, the Knicks stayed right with them offensively. I mean, everybody in this series has got to figure out how to play better defense.
Yeah, I mean, and that is without a doubt, especially towards the end of the game in overtime. And you know, I'm fine with the Knicks playing that pace because they're really good at it. And they, you know, prior to Neesmith going off, because that's really what this was. I mean, that was his epic performance from three and not being able to miss, by the way, in a Pacers uniform in front of Reggie Miller is unbelievable. And yes, I know the choke sign comes out with Halliburton, but really the guy who should have been doing it was Neesmith, because without him, this does not happen. But, you know, prior to that, everybody's doing exactly what you want. Mitchell Robinson's getting his offensive rebounds. Karl Anthony Towns is aggressive. He's hitting threes. You know, Jalen Brunson is putting together a game. When he's out because of foul trouble, OG Anunoby takes over, like when Jalen Brunson was out with the ankle injury. Mikal Bridges played a full four quarters of offense. These guys were great. Josh Hart was doing his thing. Everything was great.
It was great, man.
Everything was perfect.
Until the last two minutes, really.
I mean, insanity. I mean, and for Neesmith, I mean, he was unconscious, and Josh Hart said it, and you could tell watching it is that they didn't have the same intensity on defense towards the end of the game because they thought that they had it wrapped up, essentially.
And I'm with you. I'm really disappointed. It was hard to fall asleep last night thinking about all of this and what happened and how it happened, but these things do happen. I am a little bit ticked off that Halliburton did what he did. And maybe that's okay for, you know, him and his team. And I don't think Rick Carlisle really appreciated it. But I will say that was some shot by Halliburton to tie the game. It was amazing.
It was lucky. Come on. It was lucky.
But the fact to have, you know, he went back to go make a three to win the game.
Yeah.
And his foot was on the line. I clearly saw that his foot was on the line.
Yeah, I mean, I looked right to the score bug because I'm like, that's a two. I mean, they better not give him a three. That's a two. And I knew that they were going to look at it anyway. But I made sure that...
That's an amazing play by him. But the fact, you know, that he's running around with the choke sign and all this other crap. I mean,
listen,
you know.
Hold on. A couple of things. One, if that had gone in, he is 100% allowed to do that from three, meaning if that was a three-pointer, he's allowed to do that. And I give him credit because right after the game when he was interviewed on the court, he said, man, I tried to do the celebration. I thought we had won. I thought it was a three. It didn't work out. Thank God we won in overtime. So he had self-awareness of the fact that it was premature.
Still, the Knicks ended up choking away the lead in the fourth quarter, and it's the back pages of the papers and everything today, and everybody, that's all anybody's going to be talking about. And I would take that picture of him doing this, and I would hang it in my locker room. Because, you know, there's your villain. I think we all knew that coming into it. That's why his jersey's in the freezer. Now I'm going to have to put more ice on top of it.
Yeah.
But I would, I mean...
You know what's crazy?
It's so frustrating because I'll tell you what's really crazy about all of this. If you told me that Carl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson were going to have the offensive output games that they had...
And they lost the game.
And they lost the game, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. Now, the other thing, too, the Knicks had 40 free throw attempts.
Mm-hmm.
40!
And they missed a bunch of them, too.
Yeah, they did 40 free throw attempts.
12 of them, they made 28 out of 40 or something. Yeah.
And then you had the Pacers had 100 field goal attempts.
Yeah, I mean it was wild pace early on, and of course in the end as well. But you're talking about the Halliburton's jersey in the freezer. The time that the ball was up in the air after it hit the rim, that's what was in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, the jersey's in the freezer, and I'm watching it go up, and then bang, it goes in. I'm like, son of a gun.
Well, it's a long series, man. That's
no,
all I
know.
Tell you.
And that's really like that is the takeaway here. Like, and I know that it's just very hard to see that. And if you're driving into work today and you're in this nor'easter and it's cold rain and you're like, this is not supposed to be Memorial Day weekend and the Knicks lost and what the hell happened. Yeah, I mean, all of that is true. But I was really encouraged with the way that they played. They, for whatever reason, have to figure out when the other team is more desperate, they got to match that desperation because they weren't able to do that against the Celtics. They weren't able to do that last night. I still think they're going to win Friday night. I still think they're the better team. I still think they're going to win the series, but now it's going to be harder. And by the way, like, you know, these things, you don't just coast through these series unless you're, you know, the Chicago Bulls back in the day or the Golden State Warriors when they lost one game. You know, some of these dynasties, they coast right through the playoffs. This Knicks team's not going to coast right through the playoffs. We've seen 2 6-game series. You might get a 7-1 here. You're going to lose some games. All right.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's going to be a 7-game series. I'm telling you, it's going to be brutal. And this is a brutal Thursday morning. You wake up, you're miserable, and rightfully so, because the team actually, offensively anyway, I mean, they match them. Speed for speed, hustle for hustle, a couple more turnovers than you would like, a couple more missed free throws than you would like. But at the end of the day, Indiana goes on a 20-6 run. Close out the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, so part of that is the Knicks being lackadaisical in the closing minutes and also doing some of the things that the Celtics were doing when they were blowing their lead, where they weren't slowing down the offense. They were hucking up threes because they were early in the shot clock because they were feeling it and they were bouncing off the rim and giving them an opportunity. But, I mean, you have to also...
And I'll tell you, you have that overturned call on Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
That, to me, I mean, he is like... all over Ananobi. Mm-hmm. There's a foul called.
Yep.
How do they overturn that?
Yeah, I'm sick of the overturn stuff. I mean, obviously, it really hurt the Knicks last night and a couple of calls. Reggie Miller even said, thank God we didn't have this when I was playing. Like, because, you know, it would have been the Knicks' ball, you know, but they go back, goes off of Jalen Brunson's hand. The Knicks challenged the call early on in the game, didn't have another challenge. Rick Carlisle did, kept using them, kept winning them. You know, and
I just don't understand. Like, I see a still picture of Siakam. He's got OG's jersey. He's bumping into him.
Well, they're saying loose ball, the whole thing.
I mean, that was, that was a, to me, that was a monumentous moment.
Yeah.
Monumentous?
Yeah. Monumental?
Monumental. Monumental momentous? Moment. Momentous game. Anyway, it was a big moment, either way you say it. In this game, and it was the part of the game where you're sitting there going, I cannot believe that just happened. You know, I hate these replays in basketball.
I know. And you know what's so as you're watching the game and the pace is breakneck. You're going back and forth.
Which
it's
like awesome.
It was great. And then just once again, the fourth quarter, everything comes to a grinding halt because of these reviews. I mean, the fans are booing the review with the Anunoby Siakam thing we were just talking about. It was taking absolutely forever. Yeah, I mean, stunned. I can't, like, all the exact opposite of what it was leaving there last Friday night was what you got last night. I'm sure that they were just, everybody was quiet. Everybody was walking out of there, heads down, just completely shocked. But I don't know what it is about this. I think it's just because they played so well and they kept up with them. And I think that the Knicks have the more talent, the better players, and they're going to get it done. But I'm still encouraged about their chances about going to the finals. I just am. This sucked. This was bad. But, you know, the Knicks came back from a couple 20-point deficits, and obviously we know how that series went and ended up going the Knicks' way. But sometimes you got to eat crap when you're going to win, trying to win a title. And last night they had to do it.
The thing for me, honestly, was the fact that the game was wide open. This was not like tackle basketball the way that they were playing against the Pistons. You know, this
I think it suits them better.
I think so, too. I think it's wide open, and I think Tibbs is letting them play. And, you know, I was thinking of Paul Westhead. Wasn't he the coach that used to say, get the ball, get down there, and shoot it as quickly as possible?
Well, Mike D'Antoni was seven seconds or less, right?
But I thought it was Westhead before him.
Yeah, it was with the Suns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's how I felt last night. I felt like it was a little bit of a... You know, wide open basketball where you saw all the great athletes.
Yeah.
You know, show their stuff, and everybody had a little piece in this game. Even the bench had a little piece in this game. Now, the Indiana bench outscored the Knick bench.
And it will every game. Yes. It's going to every single game.
Because they're going to get more minutes, and they're going to get more shots, and they're better players.
Yeah. I mean, we know one of the things that people say about the Pacers, it's true, is they are a deeper team. They play more guys, and the bench scoring is going to be in favor of them. But, you know, one thing about just strategically that I think would drive you crazy too, and we haven't mentioned it yet, is the inbound stuff. They could be the worst team in left. It could be the worst team out of every team that played this year at inbounding the basketball in critical moments. And by the way, how about defensively on the Obi Toppin dunk? I don't know what they're thinking, but they're just, they don't have anybody on the inbounding player.
That is a complete, it's either a miscommunication or it's something that they were trying to do that, I don't know. It just...
I mean, look at this.
Yes. That's, there's no rotation underneath.
I mean, and Mitchell Robinson, who's been amazing defensively, just had a brain fart there or something. I mean, I'm just really, really bad. And just some of these, you know, these inbound things. You had the Jalen Brunson trying to throw the ball off the Pacers, and then it ended up in OG Anunoby's hands. You had the Josh Hart. Everybody was slipping towards the end of the game, too. Brunson slipped a couple times. Josh Hart. You had that one, obviously, the one where it went off of Brunson's hand. I mean, they had so much trouble.
Hence why Halliburton was doing the choke sign.
But yeah,
because it's plays like that make you feel like the other team is, you know, tightening up, in crunch time. But
there's no doubt about it that that's a part of it, but I mean, the Nesmith threes, man. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't happen. A guy like that hitting 6 3-pointers in the fourth quarter in that amount of time. He was unconscious.
He was. And, you know, again, you talk about turnovers, you talk about lack of awareness in terms of your shot clock. There's so many things that go into it. And if a guy gets hot like that and they keep feeding him and he keeps hitting it, you know, exactly what this was like. Walt Frazier used to do this all the time. It just wasn't, you know, 3-point shots.
Yeah.
You would have to go manufacture 3-point shots, as older Knick fans remember. But I wake up this morning, I'm disappointed. I'm really frustrated with the way that regulation ended. But I'm also encouraged by the way that the Knicks reacted and how open the game was. I prefer a little bit better defense, but man, if they're going to be that open and they're going to be that athletic and they're going to be running up and down the court like this, and Jalen Brunson is going to be going to the hole the way he was because he didn't have a great 3-point shooting night.
No, he didn't. And, you know, the biggest run that they went on when he was on the bench, which is another thing that I think is an encouraging sign, because like OG Anunoby got that same pep in his step when Brunson was on the bench that when Brunson was hurt and OG was the best offensive player on the team for them for a couple of weeks.
Well, and finally Campaign hit a couple shots.
Yeah, he did.
He took two quick fouls.
And Deuce was great again.
Foul, and then all of a sudden he hit two threes, and looked like he got himself back in the game.
I mean, everybody was great until the end of the game when the Pacers were better. So, yeah, I mean, this you're going to win games you're not supposed to. You're going to lose games you're not supposed to. These are seven-game series. This was a rough one, but I'm still taking the Knicks 10 times out of 10 from what I saw a majority of that game last night. I'm with you. I'm encouraged with the way that they played. It felt easier for them to score than it had in the first two series by a lot.
Especially down low.
I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns
was a monster last night.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm ready already for Friday night for them to stomp them, because I think that's what's going to happen. But this is also a little bit of a tip your cap spot to the Pacers. It really is. This wasn't just the Knicks choking this thing away. I mean, the Pacers had to do a lot of stuff to make a lot of really crazy stuff to make that comeback happen.
I'm telling you, I'm taking that sign where he's got Halliburton's got his hands around his neck, and I'm hanging it in my locker room. I don't know how.
I hear you, man. I know.
I'm putting that right up, and I'm like, man, this guy. This is how we used to feel about Reggie Miller.
And by the way, people tend to forget because that's just that image that is the lasting image. But the Knicks won that series.
Yes,
Reggie Miller did the choking. So here we go again. Good. Maybe history repeating itself. That would be great.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.